so glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
So let's go to the Word of God. I've been in a 6 weeks or so, I've been in a series on detox, and we're talking about detoxing our soul and not just our bodies. We did that through the Daniel fast, most of us, and but now we're talking about detoxing your soul, which is, you know, your mind, your will, and your emotions. And I've been very surprised, to be honest with you, that I have gotten more feedback on this series of messages than almost any series I've ever done. And so I didn't realize just how many people were dealing with toxic stuff and toxic people in their lives. And so we spent the last couple of services talking about and exposing toxic relationships. And I really think that we got some clarity in those areas. And I think we've given some insights on how to spot toxic people. How many are a little bit better at spotting toxic people? How many's a little bit better at even viewing yourself? There might be some areas in your own life that you've been a little toxic in. But the real test is learning what to do next. Now we've spotted them. We know who they are. But now what do we do with them? And I believe the Lord's given me a word for you today. That the question is now, how do we deal with those toxic relationships? How do we deal with toxic people? Well, that's easy. We kill them all. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. You know, that's what we want to do sometimes, but that is not what we need to do. So I want to really empower you this morning to see a little bit. So I want to give you three ways. There might be four ways. There might be six ways. I don't know, but I'm going to give you three ways how to deal with toxic relationships. Because let's rehearse for just a moment the six ways of how to identify toxic people, because toxic people are control freaks. Toxic people don't allow you to be yourself, number two. Number three, toxic people are threatened by your growth and by your change. Number four, toxic people expect you to always be there for them, but they're always absent when you need them. They're also uncaring when you need them. That was number five. Number four was toxic people take, and never give. All right. Number six was toxic people expect a second, third, fourth, fifth chance, but never give you a second chance. Those are some toxic people. So now that we've discovered and how to identify these people, whether it be a friend, whether it be a coworker, whether it be a family member, whether it be a husband, a wife, a parent, a child, now comes the important part of how to deal with them. And I'm going to share with you these ways. Number one is this. You can sever the toxic relationship. What do I do, Pastor? What do? If this is a toxic, then now you can sever a toxic relationship. We talked a little bit about it, how that the devil was a toxic to God, because he came to God and wanted to control God. He wanted to control what happened. Then he came into the garden and he wanted control. What the devil always wants in your life is control. Now, we recognize that John 10:10 says, the thief cometh but to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. And the devil doesn't necessarily want to possess you, but he wants to control you. And some people are very easily controlled. I shared this with the men yesterday. Many people could be delivered tomorrow if they just develop some discipline. All right. And just real quickly, because I just looked over here and saw him. I saw him a little earlier and I forgot. But I believe we have a newlywed in the. I think we got some newlyweds, don't we? I'm looking straight at you. You can shake your head or not. Yeah, I thought so. Come on, stand up. Newlyweds, they ain't been married but just a little while. Come on. Amen. So congratulations. Amen. Hallelujah. I didn't know she was old enough to even get married. I thought she was 12. And no, she graduated last year or something like that. So anyway, congratulations, guys. Glad to see y'all this morning. So toxic relationships. There are times because of abuse or because of behavior that relationships lead you to addiction issues. That they lead you to behavioral issues. And I know that that sounds so intense for some of you. Pastor, I just can't sever this relationship. And I want you to know that I understand that all relationships you can't sever, even though they may be toxic. But you have poured all you can into a person, and you know that they just continue their destructive behavior towards you, that you have to sever that relationship in order to be a healthy you. You know, some people tell me sometimes, Pastor, you're so uncaring. No, I have to come to a point for some people that I'm done with you. Oh, y'all ain't going to help me in here. See, there are some people I just got to say, I'm done with you, because I've done given you all the resources that I'm going to give to you. I've done given you enough time that I'm not going to give you any more time. I'm not going to give you any more money. I'm not going to give you any more of my time. And so I'm done with you. Well, but Pastor, Jesus never gives up. I'm not Jesus. And neither are you. Well, but we're Jesus in the flesh. No, you know, Jesus is in you, but you're not Jesus. You've got to realize, well, Pastor, how do you know when to give up? You've got to have a relationship with Jesus. You need to have a relationship with Jesus and know when to give up, because some people, how many knows that a daddy will give up on his children a lot sooner than a mama will? Oh, that's my baby. And daddy's like, I'm done. I'm through. I'm done. I'm done. But mama, no, that's my baby. Nuh-uh. All right. But in order to be a healthy you, there are people that you've got to sever relationships from. Have you ever seen someone who was in such a toxic, unhealthy relationship, and though they were strong in their bodies, they were sick in their soul? Man, I'm trying to help somebody. That they were strong in their mind. And have you ever been around somebody that you know that they're in a toxic relationship and they were just strong and strapping and full of faith, and then you see them next thing and they're beat down and they just barely can't go and they don't believe Jesus anymore? And because, man, that person has beat them down to such a point that they can't even believe anymore. That is toxic relationship. It's an unhealthy relationship. Toxic relationships can cause soul sickness just because of toxic people. Remember, your soul represents your mind, your will, and your emotions, and it doesn't matter how healthy you are on the outside if you're sick in your soul. Because when you're sick in your soul, it zaps strength from you. It zaps commitment from you. When you're sick in your soul, you just don't want to do anything. You don't want to be around anybody. And let me tell you, when you begin to isolate yourself from everybody, you're going down the path that the devil wants you to go through. I understand that sometimes God will isolate you for a reason and a purpose, but you got to make sure that it's God and not the devil. Because the devil loves to isolate you, get you away from people who can pray for you, get you away from people who will bless you, get you away from people who will build you up, and when he gets you by yourself, you are easy to bring down. Because he did it to the prophet Elijah. He did it to the prophet Elisha. He will do it to you. He tried to do it to Jesus. Jesus was fasting, trying to get a hold of God. But he went 40 days into the wilderness and the devil came to tempt him. But Jesus answered him every time. But the word of God says, that's why you need to know the word and know what it says about you. One of the greatest examples of a toxic relationship is that had to be severed can be found in the story of Saul and David. I hadn't even given you a scripture yet, have I? I ain't preaching 20 minutes and I ain't give you a scripture. Psalm 51:10. Create in me a clean heart or a detoxed heart. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Bad company corrupts good character. Good habits. One translation said good character. But then you can also go to 1 Samuel chapter 18 and you'll find a little story there. In chapter 18 of Samuel, David spent a long time as a servant to the king. You see, if anybody knew about living under a relenting pressure of toxicity, is David. Because David, as a young boy, came under Saul, and he would play his harp just to soothe the toxicity in Saul. Let me tell you something, folks. If you don't think that music has an effect on you, you're a moron. Not only does music have an effect on you, it doesn't even have to have lyrics to have an effect on you. I mean, come on. You know, I mean, you start listening to Welcome to the Jungle. You're ready to fight. I listen to some music make me want to drive fast. Right? I get on my Harley, and when I'm on my Harley, if Sweet Home Alabama comes on, I just want to. I'm just being real, right? But when I want to get romantic with my wife, I don't want Sweet Home. Right? I want some Barry. Who? Barry. Barry Manilow? Nah, he's gay. I don't want him. I'm just kidding. Barry White. There we go. Yeah, Barry White. Yeah. All right, Barry White, I'm with you. Come on in here, baby. You know, but you don't understand what I'm saying. Listen, when me and my wife are getting, when I want to have a romantic night with my wife, I don't put on "Show Us Your Glory." Show. I'm not going to be singing. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice to God. Oh, pray in the spirit. And with understanding, oh, magnify the Lord. Oh, magnify. No. I don't want that on. I want something on. When a man loves a woman. Come here, baby. Or sitting on the dock of the bay. Little belly rubbing music. Come on, somebody. She gonna get me in the later service. Y'all don't be telling on me either, you punks. Yeah. You don't have to. I'll tell on myself. That's the truth. But so David, that's where I got off on. David would play to soothe Saul. And it was young David who had been a longtime servant of Saul's. He helped him on many occasions, including killing the giant that nobody would fight. We know about that one. But bear in mind, Saul was king, and David was just a shepherd boy from the backside of the pasture of Judah. But here's the difference. David was anointed. 1 Samuel 18:12 says Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with David but had departed from Saul. My God, listen to me, church. Just because somebody calls them a Christian doesn't mean they don't operate in toxicity. Just because that they are a pastor or a teacher or a prophet, apostle, doesn't mean that they don't operate in toxicity. You got to make sure, right? You got to be careful. Saul would call for David to play for him on his harp because it brought comfort to him, his toxic, tormented mind. And David would come minister. King Saul's soul was so contaminated that even God had severed his relationship with Saul. He said, "Saul, I have rejected, and David, I have embraced." Ooh, preach, preacher. And when David only desired to do good for Saul and to bless Saul, even when Saul calls for David, he turns and tries to kill David in 1 Samuel chapter 18. David was playing with his harp on verse 10, playing with his harp in his hand as usual. Saul had a spear in his hand and he hurled it, saying to himself, "I'll pin David to the wall," but David eluded him twice. It became clear that Saul's intention was to kill him, but he still would not retaliate. And don't miss this. See, but when David began to understand that I can't deal with Saul, if I stay around Saul, I'm going to die, then he had to execute an exit plan. He had to decide, I got to get out of here. I got to have an exit strategy. Now, don't miss this. David loved and respected Saul because David said this, that because he was once anointed. Now, David may have loved Saul, but God, you got to hear this. I don't have anything? You don't know where I'm at? Where? Let's see. There we go. Thank you. You got to hear this. I cannot let you kill my purpose and potential in God. So I love you, but if I stay around you, you're going to kill my purpose and kill my potential. David, when he left, he said, I love you, but I will not let you kill me. Oh, somebody needs to hear me. I love you. Some of you need to tell your children, I love you, but I ain't going to let you break me. You need to tell your aunt and your crazy cousin, I love you, but I ain't going to let you break me. You're going to have to get out and make some right choices, just like I had to make some right choices. You can love a toxic person and still have to sever the relationship. I want you to hear that. You can love them but still have to sever the relationship because they're going to kill the purpose and the potential that you have in God. When you sever a relationship with a toxic person, that's what you're declaring to them. I love you, but yet I cannot let you kill my purpose. I love you, but I can't let you kill the potential of God in my life. And I'm not just talking about a physical death. I mean, I cannot let you kill my purpose. I can't let you kill my potential. I can't let you kill my peace. I can't let you kill my destiny. I can't let you kill my future. I can't let you kill my physical self. I love you, but I cannot let you kill me. David knew this. David knew that he was anointed and he had to survive. I want to tell some of you that you're anointed and you have to survive because it's your anointing that's going to set somebody else free. Sometimes you have to sever toxic relationships rather than endanger your purpose. Declare this to your neighbor. I'm anointed and I got to survive. I'm anointed and I have to survive. Well, Pastor, I don't believe this. You need to start believing it. You're anointed and you got to survive. You got to survive. Well, God will take care of me. But, you know, we always say that even though we do stupid things. Hear me. God don't heal stupid. Don't be offended. God does not heal stupid. He even agrees with me. Saul had lost the touch of God and the anointing on his life, and he was dying. And David declared through his actions of severing this relationship. Not only do I refuse to die. Now listen to this. I refuse to die. I refuse to hang around and watch you die. My goodness. I love you, but I can't watch you just die. And I can't do anything about it, so I'm going to have to sever the relationship with you. Proverbs 27:12 says, the prudent see danger and take refuge. David limited Saul's ability to do him harm. He was prudent. Why do you keep going around that same toxic person? Well, because I'm married to him. Okay, I'll deal with that. You know, because some of y'all are like, oh, God, Pastor just gave me an excuse to get divorced. No, you didn't ask God about getting married, so now you got to deal with it. Ooh, yeah. I was just thinking that out loud. I didn't know I actually said that out loud. Where am I at? David put a mountain between him and Saul. And David survived and lived to his potential because he understood, I want you to hear this closely, he understood boundaries. Toxic people hate boundaries. Toxic people don't understand boundaries. See, if you don't understand and set boundaries, you'll not make it to your full potential, and toxic people will continue to walk all over you because they hate boundaries. They just want to keep you stirred up and upset and then blame you when things go wrong. David finally stopped Saul's mixed signals endangering his life. Have you ever dealt with a toxic person that just keeps sending you mixed signals? I love you. I hate you. Come close. Stay away. I'm for you. I'm against you. I'm safe. I'm dangerous. You're awesome. You're awful. Just mixed signals every day. You wonder if they have multiple personalities. Because it's confusing. Not only is it confusing, but it's downright dangerous, church. You say, Pastor, I'm not sure about this severing thing. Give me some Bible. Well, I already have, but let me give you another one. Romans 12, 18. Write it down. If it is possible, as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. There's some people, the only way we can live at peace is we stay away from each other. Right? There's some people, and if I'm going to live at peace, I got to stay away from them. Because when I get around them, they get my blood boiling. When I get around them, I just want to pinch their head off. When I get around them, I want to take them out. When the Bible says, if it is possible, live at peace with everyone, this tells me that it might not be possible to live at peace with everybody. So you got to do like the prophetess Elsa and let it go. Let it go. Now, once you've done that, here's something that you got to be committed to. Stop giving life to toxic relationships that you have severed by talking about it on Facebook and other social media outlets. Let it go. Let it go. Quit having conversations about them and with friends and family. Move on. Move on. Learn from your mistakes and refuse to repeat it. Turning your loss into a blessing by remembering what you've already made it through. My God, somebody hear me. Woo! See, sometimes you just need to look back and go, oh, the Lord delivered me out of that. Man, they almost took me out. But thank God he was by my side because he stopped the fear. He broke the bonds of chains. I've been hurt before, Pastor. You don't understand. I've been let down before, but I made it through. And if I made it through then, I will make it through now. And good things are in front of me in Jesus' name. You need to declare that. Tell your neighbor, if you already know what I've been through, you'd be worshiping with me instead of looking at me like you are. See yourself, my God, see yourself as valuable, church. Self-worth equates net worth. If you don't think, listen, nobody's going to give you value unless you give yourself value. Quit letting everybody discount you. Quit letting everybody put you on Citrus County word of mouth. They ain't nothing. Here they are. No, man. Fill the emptiness with right relationships, a pursuit of the things of God, and believe for a bright future. For a victorious future. The next way that you handle toxic relationships. Pastor, I thought you were going to handle it with the marriage thing. I will. Number two, you can sever the relationship. Number two, you can manage a toxic relationship. Now, this is where a lot of us are. Why? Because here's the thing. The truth is we can't completely sever every toxic relationship that is toxic. Some of us, if we severed every toxic relationship that is toxic in your life, you'd be all alone. Come on, right? Am I talking to anybody? If I pointed out everybody toxic in my life, I'd be all alone by myself. So what do? You got to learn to manage it. Because when you're severing it, you're declaring this, it's over. I'm done. I can't do this anymore. But what about if it's your child? You have to manage it. You can't sever it, but you can manage it. What if it's your spouse? You can manage it. What if it's your father? Anybody had one of those? How about your brother or your sister? You can manage it. What if it's people you inherited? What if it's people you inherited? Hey, I didn't write it down, but what if you're the pastor? You got to learn to manage it. Because everybody that's at church isn't all ice cream and cookies. Some folks that come to church are toxic. And some people that come to church, they use Jesus to perpetuate their toxicity. And they use religion to guilt you into supporting their toxicity. Oh, buddy, I'm preaching right now. You can choose your friends, but you're stuck with family. I'm telling you, we ain't filming right now, are we, Abigail? All right. I'm telling y'all, I believe I'm adopted. I ain't going to say this probably in the later service. Some of my family are watching. I think I'm adopted. Because I don't think like some of my brothers and sisters. I'm like, what planet do y'all live on? Are you crazy? You know, if I didn't look like every one of them, I'd think I was adopted. If I didn't sound like my daddy, I'd know I was adopted. Amen? If I didn't have my mama's hands, my mama had some big fat hands anyway. But if I didn't have my mama's hands, I would know that I was adopted. My mama was a big woman. Anyway. But you're stuck in a family. There are some relationships that are almost impossible to sever because you continually, or they continually, float in and out of your life. You know, you don't want, and listen to me, quit letting toxic people cause you not to go to places you want to go. Well, I ain't going to go over there. So-and-so might be there. No. If I want to go, I'm going to go. Now, I got to be sensitive to myself because there are times I don't need to put myself in those situations because I ain't prayed up enough. And I don't want to show out. I don't want to, as my mama would say, I don't want to show my backside. Those relationships, you have to manage. You can't kill them. We would like to, but it's against the law of heaven and will cost you. So since you can't do that, then the next thing, you've got to learn to manage them. Learn to manage these types of toxic relationships. And I know what you're thinking, but Pastor, you just don't know, so whatever. Yeah, I've got a pretty good idea. Remember, I've been pastoring almost 30 years now. Started when I was 3. Let me help you here. Man, it's 9:44. All right. There are four things I want to give you willing to do in order to manage a toxic relationship. First of all is this. Are you ready? Don't pretend like the toxic behavior doesn't exist. Look up. You ever see somebody comes into the family and everybody knows it exists, but nobody won't say nothing. Everybody just rolls their eyes. Coming in line. Why's your eyes all bloodshot? Oh, I'm tired. Mm-hmm. Why you got all them scabs on you? Because I got scabies out in Hunter Springs. Yeah, whatever. One of the ways toxic people maintain their destruction is by never having to deal with it. So the first thing you got to do is look up. What we normally do is just ignore them. Now, Pastor, do you know what you're talking about? Yes. Because I'm number 10 out of 11 children. But I was the only one who would call my dad. And my dad's gone on to be with Jesus. And my dad was a good man, but there was some toxicity in him. And I would be the only one that would call him on it. Nobody else would call him. That's why I think I was like, he would say something stupid. I go, that's stupid. Pastor, you didn't. Yes, I did. I told him one day, I said, I didn't say this. Well, I said it to him. We were sitting across the table. I didn't call him this. He told me something. I said, well, the only people who think like that are ignorant rednecks. Yeah, I did. Yeah. Pastor, you're so bad. Somebody's got to call people on their toxicity. I'm not talking about always being confrontational, looking for a fight. I'm not that way. But I'm not going to let somebody sit there and talk about stuff that's going to infect my children while they're sitting there. And I'm going to go, nope, that ain't right. And if I can't, maybe if I'm in their house, and we wasn't, because if I'm in his house, I'm Southern. If I'm in your house, I'm going to shut up. But I'm going to leave pretty quick. Come on, let's go. Go If I say something in here, they're going to shoot me and tell the police I tried to break in. But we go to family reunions, and we all just look at each other and wait for it. Wait for the meltdown. Wait for the harsh words. Wait for the bad behavior. And somebody, granny, grandma, auntie, is going to excuse why they are the way they are. Well, they're having a bad time. I just want to go, me too. Everybody's looking sideways. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all ever been there? Praying in the Holy Ghost. Trying to keep it from happening. And then boom, it happens. You can act like nothing, like something doesn't exist, but that doesn't stop it from existing. So you got to look up. And I don't care who it is. Whether it's you, your mama, your daddy, your spouse, whomever. Secondly, you got to speak up. There it is. You got to look up. You got to speak up. If you hope to manage a toxic relationship, you have to be willing to speak up. What do you mean? You got to call them. The problem is the same people who won't look up will absolutely not speak up. The people who won't see it don't say it. So you got to look up and you got to be willing to say it, because what happens is when you begin to call toxic people out, they won't come around you. Because they know you ain't going to put up with their junk. I've had people, Oh, Lord Jesus. Let me kind of look around. I've talked to some people and go, you shouldn't talk to them that way. That's my baby. I said, they need to understand. They're not a little boy anymore. They're 37 years old. And just because you won't talk to them that way and, you know, you keep giving them a bottle and changing their diaper doesn't mean I'm going to. I don't understand why this has happened to me. Because you keep doing stupid stuff. Pastor, you mad? No. At some point, you got to be willing to stop ignoring and stop being silent about toxic people and toxic behavior, because toxic people take your silence as permission. Your child running around acting crazy, getting on everybody's nerves, and you won't say nothing. Why? Because you don't see it. Trust me, everybody else does. And what they're thinking is you're a bad parent. I said that, didn't I? If you don't look up and speak up, toxic people will never give up their negative behavior. They got to give it up, man. So do yourself a favor. Speak up first. Look up. Secondly, speak up. Look up, speak up. Then thirdly, put your foot down. Put your foot down. Listen, when you know it's not you, and when you know it's them, that's when you rise to manage toxic behavior. That's when you got to, no, we're not going to do that. We're not going to do that. When it comes to toxic behavior, confrontation is your friend. I remember this single mom, and well, she wasn't a single mom. The husband was out working. We were pretty close friends, and that little child was just being a hellion that day. And they came by, and I thought, what that boy needs is a good firm hand. Because I want every parent to listen to me. I'm not talking about abuse. I'm totally against that. And I'll be the first one to beat somebody down for abusing a child. But there's discipline. And if you don't teach them now, they won't have it when they grow up. What's wrong with the world? Well, can't nobody whoop nobody. Can't nobody discipline anybody. Tell them I put it in a timeout. Shoot, there's a knockout. Shoot, knock them jokers out. Time out, nothing. I do something on Sunday, wake up like Tuesday, done miss 2 days of school. Amen. I'm not talking about abuse, but listen, there's a place that you can touch an unruly child that if you touch them just right, they'll quit. Where's it at? It's somewhere back in this area. If you touch them just right, and consistently, they'll quit. Let me tell you. There was this little child that came in, was in the old building. They came through the, and the mama had two babies trying to, the one little boy, and she was dragging him, and I was like, oh, Jesus. And I looked, and I called her name. I said, hey, do something with that child, because we were close enough. I said, do something with that child. Well, Pastor, I can't. I said, give me permission. I can. She goes, well, you have permission. I go, no, you ain't for real. She goes, no, I really. I said, give me that child. I went and got that child. I brought him into my office. I sat down, and I just had, he was screaming, ah, ah. Gah, gah, gah. He was just screaming. I put my mouth down to his ear. I said, boy, your mama gave me permission to beat your behind. Now, if you don't shut up, I'm finna beat your behind. He looked at me. Ah! I put him over my knee. Then he looked up at me. I'll quit. Yeah, all right. Now, I wished every child was going to be that way, but you don't let him go. You can't do that to a 17-year-old. It's going to be a bigger fight. You can still do it, but you better have some backup. All right, let me move on. I got to get out of there. Your destiny may be attacked, ravaged, and marked, but it cannot be taken away unless you allow it. That's when you got to rise and say, no, this is not okay. You may be my family, but you don't get the free pass of treating me this way. Whew. Put your foot down. So listen, let me tell you something. Husbands, you know, you better, I'm not marrying their family. Yes, you are. And I will stay silent for a lot of things on my wife's side. But she knows when I give her the look, she knows if she's going to unloose the dog or not. All right, now either you're going to have to let me say something, or we're going to need to leave, because I ain't going to let them treat you this way. I ain't going to let them talk to you that way. You my wife now. Mm-mm. And either she says it's okay, or she goes, release the beast. And that's when I go, oh, no. You ain't going to talk to my wife that way. Well, what you going to do? Well, I just might leave. Well, I don't care. I just might beat you down. Pastor, I'm just saying. Put your foot down with that child. Put your foot down with that parent. Put your foot down with that sibling. Put your foot down with your spouse. Put your foot down with your family member. No one can make you feel less than without your permission. Put your foot down. Ephesians 4:15 says, speak the truth in love. You're doing yourself, your family, and even the toxic person a favor when you put your foot down. Can I borrow $5? No. Why? You know, don't lie. Oh, I ain't got it. Oh, I got it. I got about 20. But you ain't getting none of it. I mean, I don't know why a Christian want to lie. Can I have $5? No, I don't even have it. Yeah, I do. Can I have $5? No. I done gave you, and you ain't. No. Uh-uh. I need something to drink. That's some water. Go get the water fountain. I should have put this too. All right. I got one more point after this one. Fourthly. Set healthy boundaries. Set healthy boundaries. Somebody say boundaries. I want us to understand boundaries, because toxic people certainly don't understand them. They say whatever they want to say, whenever they want to say it. You ever notice the most rude people can't take being rude too? Well, that hurt my feelings. Well, don't you think the stupid, crazy stuff you've been saying hurts anybody's feelings? They want to do whatever they want to do with expecting no repercussions. Boundaries, here's what they are. Parameters, bounds, and limits. You rock their world when you put boundaries on them, because you declare there's a limit. See, when you tell people, I'm going to do this and that's it, it rocks their world. You know, listen, 10 years ago, somebody came to me for some financial advice. And it was a husband and wife, but the wife knew me better than the husband did. And the wife told the husband, now, if you don't do what Pastor says, don't go back asking him nothing. I ain't got time. I ain't got time. If you won't help, I'll try to help you. But if you don't want to help, I ain't got no time. I'm not gonna bankrupt me and my resources of time because you don't want to do it. Boy, I can't get no amen up in here. But you need to tell people, here are your boundaries. I won't let you talk to me like this anymore in a demeaning way. Be willing to stand up and leave the room if you have to. Belittling me, attacking me, patronizing me. No, sir, I ain't going to allow you to do it anymore. You know, there's another pastor. And he's on the state council with me, and I'm the chairman. And he always interrupts people. But then won't ever let anybody interrupt him. And everybody knows it, but the only one person who says anything is old Ron. He'll start to interrupt anybody, go, Nope. You let him finish. You didn't want nobody to interrupt you, shut up. Well, I'm a grown man. You can lead the room too. I'm in charge right now. See, you got to know when you're in charge. All right, so here. Be willing to stand up, leave the room. I won't let you disrespect me or be abusive toward me any longer. You don't get to touch me. You know, here's what's crazy. Men, listen to me. You want to demoralize your spouse and then want loving at night. Ain't gonna work, bro. This is not negotiable. So look up, speak up, put your foot down, set some boundaries. So the first thing that you to deal with toxic people, you sever the relationship. Secondly, you manage it. Number three, and come on back so I'll shut up. Number three is this. With the help of Christ, you can transform a toxic relationship. But bro, it takes the help of Christ. I'm talking about Jesus Christ. The author, the finisher of our faith, it takes him. How many people, look at me for just a moment. I want you to be real. It's not a trick question. How many people that you recognize, maybe it's been through this series or maybe you just know, that you have been or you presently are. So see, people don't know if you have been or you presently are. You have been, in instances, toxic yourself. Now just keep it up. Look around. Because I want you to see, you're not by yourself. You're not by yourself. But thank God, hopefully, prayerfully, we're all learned something and hopefully you're not there anymore. I don't want to be toxic, man. Because it is possible for a toxic person to be transformed, but it's not easy. But it's not impossible. It is possible. But the toxic person must become willing. See, that's the problem. Some of y'all like, y'all praying for somebody and they're not willing. One of the patriarchs of the faith. God, man, I could preach another week on this, but I don't. I gotta get done. One of the patriarchs of the faith was a toxic man that was transformed. His name was Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob was so toxic. Jacob was as toxic as they come. He was driven by passion to get what he wanted for himself in Genesis. And if you know the story, Jacob deceived his own basically blind father into believing that he was his older brother Esau and got the blessing from him. And then Jacob, his name means supplanter, one who trips another up, heel grabber, layer of snares. Man, that's toxic. Hallelujah though, my goodness. Something happened with him, though. Something happened with him. He tricked his dad and he gave him a priestly reign and gave him authority. He stole Esau's blessing, who should have received it as the eldest son. He was a mess. He was a trickster. He was toxic. But his behavior cost him because Esau got mad and he had to run for his life and go to another country. But listen, oh my God. Jacob didn't understand the blessing of God coming to his family was to be received, not stolen or taken. And I promise you that eventually every toxic person will meet their match. And Jacob ran up on Laban, his eventually father-in-law, and he saw Rebecca, and in Florida English, he went, "Ooh, girl, shoot. How much for her?" Because he had to give a dowry back then. "How much for her?" And he said, "If you work for me for 7 years, I'll give her to you." He said, "All right." Worked for 7 years. Had the wedding. Back in those days, they would keep them covered. That's why now we lift the veil. Make sure what we're getting is who we thought it was. He didn't know it was the wrong woman until they got in the bedroom. And Laban gave him Leah, which Leah means droopy eyes. That's what it meant. He gave her old droopy eyes. But check this out. Then he worked for another 7 years and got Rachel, the one he wanted. And then a long story short, began to trick and cheat Laban out of goats. That's the way he was. Then Laban got mad, chased him out. Esau's coming after him. His brother heard that he was coming back to town. And they were coming to him. And he went to this place called Mount Carmel. And he had an encounter with God. Woo! He had an encounter with God. And this is where the transformation took place of old toxic Jacob begins. Because he wrestled with the Lord to the breaking of the day. And the Lord touched him on the hollow of his leg. And he changed his name from Jacob to Israel, which means prince that prevails with God. And what are you saying? He had an encounter with God. And God touched him and it changed the way that he walked. It changed his behavior. Because when you have an encounter with God and you allow God to do his work in your life, he'll take it from toxicity to transformation. That's what God does. You can read the story in Genesis 32 later on. Toxic people can change if they allow God to deal with them. Toxic people can change if they're willing to hang on to God. God wrestled with him and touched him in his hip. God did not want to kill him. God wanted to change his walk. See, the God doesn't want to kill you. He wants to change your walk. He wanted you to become a different person. He wanted Jacob to become a different man. And Jacob walked different with a limp from that day on. Toxic people change when they change the way they walk, the way they live, and the way they behave. And usually the only way that happens is an encounter with God. He changed his name to Israel, the man that prevails, prince that prevails with God. When toxic people allows God to prevail in their lives, they are then on their way to transformation. Hallelujah. Jacob did everything he could to be restored to Esau. Tried to make things right. Toxic people are transformed when they do all they can do to right their wrongs and live a transformed life. I want you to know this, and I'm done. God still detoxifies toxic people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jacob gave the Lord another name there, Elohe, which means the mighty God of Israel. And can I tell you that I'm only here today to be able to preach this message to you because of the mighty God of Israel. I'm only in my right mind this morning, or because of the mighty God of Israel. I'm only able, I made it out of some toxic situations only because of the mighty God of Israel. I've been toxic, but I've survived. But I made it because the mighty God of Israel. You will make it because of the mighty God of Israel. Come on, stand to your feet. Lift up your hands to Him. Tell Him, Lord, I thank You for the anointing. I'm anointing and I got to survive. Ha! Lord, touch me that I may change my walk, change my talk, change my behavior. Hey! Yeah, 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 yeah. Hey! Come on, just touch the Lord. Touch the throne of heaven today with your praise. Touch the throne of heaven with your cry. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Right now, Jesus, You change everything.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.